Hello. Welcome to Crucify for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here and so glad that you're listening to this sermon. And if you're new, the purpose, I guess the thrust of this website, and of course you guys know that have been listening for a while, it's all about Jesus. It's all about how he can move in our life and to be that light to this world. But the thrust of this website is to reach whoever wants to hear the truth of the gospel. And of course, link up with those that truly are seeking to live a crucified life, a life that is different from this world. We have to understand, my friend, we can't serve this world and God at the same time. It doesn't work that way. Our allegiance fall on God, giving it all to him, or we're giving it all to this world, and we know this world is Satan. So when you look at it, you're giving it all to God or you're giving it all to Satan. You have to make a choice. There's no in-between ground. Although many believe there is this happy medium ground. No, there is not. And of course, all you guys have been following this ministry. Thanks for the support and your prayers on that. And support, I mean your prayers. I don't charge anything for this ministry. So thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for truly focusing your life on Christ and persevering through all the things in our life that can be such a challenge, can bring us to our knees at times, right? I know I've experienced it and still not immune from it. Of course, let us be in prayer for Israel, as in the whole Middle East that's going on. We are, our brothers and sisters over there are suffering greatly. Let's not forget to pray for them and lift them up to God. Don't think this can't roll over into America. Don't think this can't roll over to other countries. This can get really, it's bad now, but it can roll over into easily what many would be calling a World War III. I'm still kind of looking at it and evaluating it. I wouldn't go that far yet, but I truly believe there's a potential for it to be another world war. And if that happens, most Americans are not ready for that. The church in America is not ready for that. The church in general sense of America is lukewarm. They love their sin more than they love God. They prefer to celebrate darkness than light. And it will shatter them more than COVID. If there is a World War III, and it's coming, we know that. Not saying this is World War III, I'm saying it is coming. And this has a huge potential to be this World War III. It won't have, COVID's going to look like a little anthill compared to that if that happens. So let's be in prayer. We need to be more focused on Jesus more than anything else in this, especially in these perilous times we're living it. In God's scripture, what a man says on a website or what a man says on via television, televangelist, telepreacher, or internet evangelist or internet preacher or Bible teachers. We look at what they say, but we don't just take them as truth. We look what they're saying and we weigh it with scripture. That's what just kind of blows my mind today, is we listen to preachers out there. We listen to people like, I know that name is, Joel Osteen. That's what. And I pray that you don't listen to him constantly. I always listen every once in a while. I always like to see what the devil's up to. Annalee Stanley just recently, but Annalee Stanley's been on a downward spiral for a long time. He just lost it. These guys don't center on scripture. But my question is, why is there millions and millions following these guys who don't center on scripture, but they're very good at speaking, they're very good at motivating, talking? I'm not the most elegant speaker, and I don't claim to be, and I never will profess to be, but I love God's word. And I always say this, if you're listening to anything, you know, when I'm preaching or when I'm teaching, go back to God's word. Don't take my word for it. I'm a man. I can be wrong. And if you ever have questions, you can email me. Some of you guys have my personal phone number. You can text me. You can call me. If you do email me, make sure you put the website in the subject heading. So if it goes to spam, I won't miss it, because I've seen that once, and there was an old message, and it was just, it wasn't in spam. It was no subject heading, and I get a lot of spam, so most of it just gets deleted, all spam, because spam is spam. It's not really that important. So make sure you put in the heading Crucify for Christ Ministry, and you send it at the beginning of this website. There's, you can scroll down, you'll see there's a way of emailing me. So if you have questions, email me. I have a Facebook account. You can always send me a Facebook message with a question, and I can answer you through that way too. That's probably the most, right down the best way to reach me. And if I personally know you, you know you have my cell phone, so you can text me or call me. I am not scared of questions. I encourage them. So, text away, email away, any questions that you may have. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is part 3 of a sermon series that the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to do in Psalms 31, 1 through 16. That's Psalm 91, 1 through 16. This is part 3. Now, this part 3 is going to be dealing with spiritual warfare, something I'm personally, it's one of my, as we say, pet peeves. It's one of my things that I focus on a lot, because I believe it's not really preached the right way in churches, or taught the right way in most churches. What you see normally is there is the under emphasis, meaning it's not really, doesn't apply today, or there's the over emphasis, meaning they go beyond scripture. And the under and the over is not biblical. So it being taught biblical within our churches is not being taught or preached on correctly. And I have done a sermon series. I do one every year. I've done one this year at the beginning. I encourage you, I don't remember when, but you can keep strolling down on this site, and it was 13, 15 part. If you listen to that sermon series on spiritual warfare, you'll be better equipped with better understanding that's based through God's word than most of your average Christians that attend churches, especially here in America. And that's not me being boastful. That's just me being, I've done a lot of studying on spiritual warfare. I've read a ton of other books on spiritual warfare, just to kind of get in what I've seen is an underemphasis and an overemphasis, but not a, there's a few books out there I will recommend, probably about one or two after reading quite a few, that are spot on, that are, they don't try to go beyond scripture, which is key, and they don't overemphasize, they don't underemphasize the importance of spiritual warfare. So Psalms 91, 116, this is going to be centering on spiritual warfare. And if you're taking notes, you can, and if you want to really give this message a title, you can title it Spiritual Warfare. the spiritual warfare aspect of Psalm 91. That's the spiritual warfare aspect of Psalm 91 and how to apply this psalm to our life. In Psalm 91, 1 through 16, and I want to read through Psalm 91, 1 through 16. And this will be our last series on Psalm 91, 1 through 16. And I pray that you listen to the other two that were done, because it kind of gives you a full picture, applicational point of looking at this psalm and how to apply it to your life. So Psalm 91, verse 1 says, and of course, continue to 16, says, "He that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrows that fly by day, nor for the pestilence that walk in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. They shall tread upon the lion adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. But He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will sit him on high, because he had known my name. He shall call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come today thanking You for this opportunity, Lord, just get into Your word. Lord God, this direct us as You see fit. Move as You need. Let the Holy Spirit fall upon me. Give me the words. Let the Holy Spirit fall on those that are listening, Lord. I don't know who is listening or who's going to or when they're going to listen. Lord, we pray over them right now. Lord, we pray that wherever may be going on in their life, Lord, that the Holy Spirit just falls right now on them. Maybe they know You, maybe they don't. My heart desire is for them to know You. And those that do know You, Lord, we pray, Lord, that they find strength and encouragement, hope and joy and peace within the Holy Spirit to help them and guide them through these ups and downs of life, this journey, this roller coaster ride of life. It takes you up and down so fast you lose your breath, but we know within all the chaos, when all the trouble, all the tribulations, we can hold fast to our faith and we can lean on the One that holds our tomorrow, that He has tomorrow in His hands. And when we do this, we can cling to that hope, that anchor of our salvation through the storms of this life. And we cling by hope through faith and carry on to tomorrow. For we know not what tomorrow brings, but we know He holds our tomorrow. And when we know this, we have a peace. When we know this, we have a hope. When we know this, we have a joy that surpasses all understanding that this world cannot understand, a peace that surpasses all understanding that this world cannot understand. It's all intricately connected with You, our true refuge, our true fortress against the things of the storms and the challenges of this life, Lord. I pray as we just go into this mess, You just guide, Lord. You direct. Use me as you see fit. I am your mouthpiece. Guide me and direct me. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, my friend, when I say spiritual warfare, what comes to your mind? Do you think of a battlefield with swords? There are warriors on both sides fighting with swords. Maybe you think of the past wars. Here in America, you can think of the Civil War, the American Revolution War, World War I, World War II, and of course there's many others in between. Maybe you can think of wars in other countries. Maybe currently you can think of the Middle East war that's going on with Israel and the Palestinian state and all the players that may be involved in that. It's crazy times we are living in. Let's be in prayer, of course, for Israel and those that are all involved. Maybe you think of light and darkness. How light and darkness, they contrast each other. Maybe you think of good and evil. I want to tell you, spiritual warfare is part of all of the things mentioned here above. But I really want to narrow down on this topic of spiritual warfare and just say this. Spiritual warfare at the center of all of it is God and Satan. And if you've been listening to quite a few sermons on this website, you know where I'm going to go with this. You know, if you've listened through any of my spiritual warfare series, you already know where I'm headed. And I'm really not going to go deep as I do in my spiritual warfare series, but I really want to put it in this, I want to frame it in this aspect. God is good. He is light. And He will guide us into the right path. While Satan is evil, Satan is darkness, and if we allow Satan to operate in our life, he will guide us in his path. These two paths, they clash. Spiritual warfare, you have these two paths. Now, we may not visually see God and Satan at work, but we can see the consequences of this good and evil interaction manifest in the physical world. Think of the events that are taking place in Israel with Hamas. Now, we have to be careful through the media because there's a lot of deception out there. I weigh through a lot of things, looking at articles, reading through articles and listening to YouTube and podcasts. So there's a lot of weighing out and a lot of discernment, praying through things. There's stuff I don't share because I'm like, I don't really think that's referring to that, but I'm not 100% sure. So there's a discernment looking at things, and we need to be discerning, right? When we look through things, first we need to make sure our prayer life is on point, right? Meaning our prayer life is on fire. Meaning our prayer a day don't cut it, guys. Hours upon hours and hours of prayer in helping us discern what's going on. And of course, we combine that with our daily reading of God's Word, His study, and of course, that fellowship with like-minded believers that are seeking truth like we are through Scripture. Now, those are deviating from Scripture. They don't really care what God's Word says. Then we need to be careful with those individuals. We need to pray for them, but we really don't need to be having fellowship with them in a sense of that we will with somebody that is seeking truth and looking at Scripture. But think of the Middle East war, right? Israel, Hamas, Hamas and his soldiers, they invaded Israel. This is correct. This is accurate. Now, the details in between how and why, they, well, in our understanding, well, you know, there's a lot of thoughts out there, but the truth is Hamas, they hate Israel. They actually hate a lot of nations. They hate America. And they have came in and they have caused havoc. They have captured Israelites, the Jewish, and of course they would call us the Gentiles. There were Americans over there. They were caught. And they are doing ungodly things, tormenting. That's evil, right? That is, we can look at that and say Satan's hand is in motion there. But within the chaos also, you're seeing people are coming to Christ. That is light. That is God. And that's the example of, we can't really see God physically. We can't see Satan physically, but we can see evil, which is from Satan, not from God. And we can see good, which comes from God. We can see that darkness and we can see that light. And we can say, there it is, there's spiritual warfare. God is good. God is light. Satan is darkness. He is evil. God wants those to come to Him to have peace, joy, and hope in this life. Miss all the chaos. But Satan is contrast that. He pulls against that. Satan wants to create chaos. He wants to lead others away from true peace, true joy, and true hope in this life. When God wants to provide peace, Satan wants to cause havoc. God is not the author of physical war. Satan is, and Satan inspires humanity to do evil and darkness. God does not have nothing to do with it. Do not be confused. God is good and He will remain good. God will stand true because He is light. Some people want to say God, He's over all of this. No, He is not. God is not the author of darkness. He is not the author of evil. God calls us to come to Him, to live His way. But I want to tell you, this world, majority of the world here, especially here in America and other nations, they do not want to center their life on God. So what does He do? He leaves them to their imagination. He leads them to their own devices. God does not cause physical war. We cause it. This is a reality, and not many people want to hear this. We're asking for war and chaos and havoc because we distance ourselves from God as a nation, as a people. This is truth. This is not popular. You just look around. Look at this world. Look at your life. How important it is to live a life that is pleasing to God. And part of this is being part of a physical church. Now you might say, preacher, you're meddling. Well, God's word is meddling and trying to draw you to truth and conviction. Being part of a physical church where your brothers and sisters like-minded. Online does not count. It only counts if you're unable to make it. Sickness, right? Physically handicapped. But if you're working 40 hours a week or doing whatever you're doing, what you want for the week with no handicap, but Sunday rolls around and you're like, I really don't want to go. It just don't really fit me. I want to say you got heart issues. And Satan got you right where he wants you. You keep walking in this path. Darkness will engulf your life. He works in slow increments. So He ain't going to hit you all at once. Subtle steps, right? One chip away at the foundation. Another chip. And next thing you know, your foundation is collapsed. And you're wondering how you got there. I want to tell you, my friend, I have seen Satan's hand in work and how he can cause havoc. I want to tell you of a personal story, and I have, this is really personal. It's there was a man in my life, family member, when I was a child growing up to my teen years. This friend, he was, man, I can remember as a child listening to him preach. Gifted. Moved. Not only that he could preach, he also could play the piano and the guitar and worship and praise. Love listening to praise and worship music then as much as I do now, raising my hands and praising his holy name. And I can remember as a child, up to my 11, 12, I'm 43 now, and time just eludes me. As I get older, and some of you guys can relate, I remember watching him at church, I could see the joy of the Lord all over his life, all over his family. Not only that he was a good preacher, and or I would say a gifted, great preacher, a beautiful musician, praise and worship songs. He was also a mechanic, a great mechanic. He could look at a vehicle, crank it up, and could almost tell you what was wrong with that vehicle. He was like a human diagnostic machine. And I worked in this shop when I was about 11. 10 or 11. It was really my first job. I swept the floor, did basic mechanic things, and mowed, weeded around the shop, their home. The shop was placed around their home. And but as a child, I was, really up to my teen years, I started, growing in my faith and looking and not really truly understanding spiritual warfare. That was the thing. And now that I look back, I see greed. It's just another door Satan uses to open, to come into our life. Greed. Money. It seems like he could not get enough money. Next thing you know, his preaching starts preaching less. Stop playing music less, working more hours at the shop to make more money. Of course, he was also working another job. See, they had attained this big home and they had cars and they started just loving going on vacations, the big homes, the vehicles, electronics. And watching all this unfold then, and I reflect now on it, I didn't really understand what was going on. Next thing, they've allowed Satan to come into their lives. He stops preaching. He stops playing music. This greed has consumed their life. Just one way Satan can come into our life, through the spiritual warfare. He don't need much. Next thing you know, years later, his wife has cheated on him. He leaves his wife. And I want to tell you that these are subtle steps. This is probably now, I'm in my 20s, or maybe younger, 18, 19. I'm in my 20s, and he's separated from his wife, and He gave up on the church. He gave up on music. Now he don't have his shop anymore. Everything he lost in the divorce, he's living in an apartment. Now he is going to strip clubs. This is rough to tell because it really rattles me today. It's probably why I'm big on spiritual war. I'm not going to try to cry for you guys here because this is hard to give this. Because it's still with me, it weighs heavy on me today. How Satan, how he allows Satan to come into his life, his family. And he's in the strip clubs and he's with strippers and they're coming. At this time, I know where he lives. I'm in his apartment. So I actually went and stayed with him in his apartment. I can remember the strippers and how they were coming and in and out. And he's a shell of a man. And at this point, while I'm in my 20s, I also have now said, I'm done, you know, about, I think it was about 16, 17. I was like, I'm walking away from my faith. And it's probably had a lot to do with what I was seeing going on in my friend's life. And also during the church, attending churches, I had questions. And the preachers, the elders, they, it would look like you slapped them with their face because they don't want to answer. I want to tell you guys, when a kid walks up to you and they have questions, don't shut them. Don't look like they're stupid. Don't look at them like, because I want to tell you, God's putting them in your path. If you can't give them answers to questions, biblical questions, I know I was that child. We will go to that world and Satan will fill our heads with lies. He did with mine and I left the church. My friend, he did too. And we're just, man, I'm living with him. There's strippers all over the place. We're just living in this carnal nature, a lifestyle. And man, he takes his life. And these are subtle steps. It's not like Satan, it happened all at once. Remember, I'm about 11, and then 10 years later, maybe 12 years later, it ends with him taking his life. Satan operates in subtle steps. And what I'm getting at, never think that Satan is a fool. Never think that he doesn't know what he's doing. And that's kind of what we're kind of going to kind of get hitting on today with this, is spiritual warfare. And we're really going to center and look at the psalmist, because the psalmist is really fully aware of spiritual warfare. And I gave you this personal account because I want to tell you, you may be like, oh, that's Old Testament, that don't apply to the New Testament. You already, if you follow my spiritual warfare sermon series, I go from Genesis to Ephesians 6:10, looking even to Revelation a little bit, hitting on spiritual warfare is real. It was real back in the Old Testament, and the psalmist is very aware of it, and it's real today. I have personally seen it. That was a very personal experience, and I have less, I guess, personal experience seeing his hand in motion. He does exist. He does not have your best intention and heart, and he operates in subtle steps. And I don't say this to be mean to you, but when you start centering your life more on the things of this world and less on the things of God, he's already working in your life. When you're putting aside your Bible studying, when you're putting aside your reading of God's Word, your prayer life, when your life is more inundated with the things of this world, your work, your family, your friends, you're neglecting the gathering together with like believers, he's already working in your life. You might say, Jonathan, you're meddling, you're stepping over boundaries. I'm going to tell you, if you don't heed it, you'll eventually, I hope you won't be too far gone like my uncle, where he got to his point where Satan could fully invade his life. He took his. I hope you don't be like that. I hope you acknowledge the importance of this message and spiritual warfare. So we can say spiritual warfare here, it centers on God and Satan, right? Light and darkness, good and evil. The psalmist is fully aware of spiritual warfare here in Psalm 93. Now, if you want to view the psalmist as a writer of David, which I kind of center this, that David wrote this psalm, but we know that God ultimately, the Holy Spirit, moved on whoever the psalmist is. Some view Moses, other views another psalmist. But one thing certain, the psalmist knew about spiritual warfare. Once again, the principle of this sermon today is spiritual warfare. The aspect of Psalm 91 and how to apply this to your life. The spiritual warfare aspect of Psalm 91, how to apply this to your life today. And what I want to do is draw you to verse 3 here. Verse 3 says, "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." What I want to bring you to is that phrase here, that snare of the fowler. And I want to encourage you, if you're taking notes, write that phrase down. If you like to highlight in your Bible, highlight that. But the snare of the fowler. Now, if I come to you and say, what is a fowler? What would you say? A fowler is simply a bird catcher. The fowler is making a snare to catch a bird. Now, as a child growing up in the country, there was not really much to do. I was a swamp, as they would say here in Louisiana. I was a swamp rat. Basically, if you're in the swamp, you'll see these big old rats out there. I lived in the swamp area. I loved the swamp. There was solitude and peace as a child playing in those dirty waters. And you might say, wow, that's crazy, Jonathan. I say, yeah, pretty is. Pretty crazy, right? But during that, did a lot of things. But part of that, I was trying to catch all kind of animals. I got successful at doing this trial and error. But I found there was a stage process of setting up these traps. I learned the order of successfully catching all types of animals. And one thing I learned, that bait was very important. Something to draw the animal to that trap that I have engineered to catch that poor innocent animal. Now, if it was a squirrel, I would use, nuts, among other things. And if it was a raccoon, I would use like dead fish, tuna fish. If it was a turtle, I could also use dead fish. The turtles in the swamp, they would tend to come to dead fish. Snakes would almost come to about anything. And of course, the fish I caught with worms. And the muddy water with snakes and alligators. And of course, alligators, they love chicken. During this whole process, I started understanding, the better bait I use, the more likelihood I was going to catch that animal. Of course, my trap, depending on how big the animal I was looking for, it varied in size and length. It could be on how I would trap it. Could be a rope, could be a box. I got pretty good at engineering traps. Now, we're in deer season, and all my hunters out there, you kind of understand that a good deer plot, that's a feeding area with feed, a good feed. Even though I know hunters that will feed their deer year round, this increases their chances of killing that deer. So it's not a hard connection here to draw, that this bird catcher, this fowler, would have to have good bait for the trap that he was set up to catch the bird. Now, with this in mind, I want to tell you that Satan is the ultimate fowler. Make no excuse. Satan is the ultimate fowler. He understands what good bait is. And good bait for his snare, his trap. Ephesians 6 speaks of the wiles, the cunning of devil, as Satan, his cunning nature. Now, don't think he is not cunning. Don't think he ain't the ultimate fowler. Don't think he don't have the ultimate bait. Why? Because I don't have to sit here and try to prove this. Scripture proves it for us. Think of the Garden of Eden, right? The whole count from Genesis 1 through 3. God created man. Later, he created woman from the side of man to to be his helpmate. And they were in this perfect place, his garden. They had no worries, guys. They had no fears. They had no pains. They had no sorrow. It was perfect. And God told them to do what? Take care of the garden. And you can start reading Genesis 1 through 3 to say, because I'm not making this up for you. You can go back. You can read that. To care for the garden, to have children. But he also told them one thing to not do. Can you remember what he said not to do? There was one tree among all the other trees in the center of the garden. And in that center of the garden, it was the tree of knowledge, good and evil. One commandment of not to do. Do not eat from that tree. If they do, what did God tell? First Adam and Eve knew what he said, because you can go to Genesis 3, 1 and read that down. You can read that whole historical account. And Eve understood there was a consequence of eating from that tree. He would surely die. Adam had his truth. Eve had her truth. But they did not match up to the truth. For God is the ultimate truth. What happens? Serpent, Satan, comes in. He sets this snare, this trap for Eve. She allows herself to be deceived, to question what? God's word. Eating of the fruit from the tree. And of course, Adam was just right there in full rebellion. He took the scriptures. He took and he ate. It doesn't show us that he struggled with his decision. He did it in full rebellion. You don't go over. You can go over to Romans 5. Read straight down. It'll show you. He was there. He had no problems taking the fruit and that Eve gave him. And what happens? Paradise was lost. Sin came into the world. And from sin, the sin, the rebellion, deception led to other sins. And we are living in that now. And yes, because we are living in a cursed world, a sinful world, a world that has fallen from what it should have been, we will have challenges in this life. And we will have troubles in this life. And I say all this, Satan is no joke. He is no joke, guys. Adam and Eve, I believe they were the smartest individuals ever to exist. Why do I say this? Because when God creates something, he created Adam from the ground. And Eve from his side. He said all of it was good. And when God puts his stamp on something good, it has no imperfections. Meaning their mind was fully alert. Most scientists today, neurologists, will say that we only use about 10% of our brain. And I believe personally that God capped that off. Some will say a little bit more. When you look at the world, I believe most probably use about 2-3% of their brain. That's just me thinking out loud, because I see the stupid in the world. I believe God capped that off, because we can think we're too smart for our own britches, as we say in the countries. Out in the country, we're just too smart for our britches. Those that are atheists out there that got their PhDs and whatever they want to have it in, think they are more knowledgeable and more learned than God's word. And they look at preachers like me that stand on God's word, and then they find out I got a degree. Then they change their tone a little bit more, because now they're realizing they're dealing with somebody that's educated. We don't have to be educated. Don't have to have a degree. But I've dealt with these guys before, and I know how they think. They start getting it far from you as they can, because now they know you're about to logically reason with them with the scripture, and they don't want to hear that. They're hoping that you don't logic with them, because ultimately it boils down to they love their sin too much. But Adam and Eve, smart. smarter than any person ever to ever exist. My personal opinion on that, because, but when the fall happens, God capped all that off. He capped off intelligence. He capped off how long we'll live. There was that physical death. There was that spiritual death. It all happens with what? Satan set the trap, set the bait. Eve should have been obeying God's word. She didn't. She neglected it. And she took of that ultimate, that bait, which led to this cursed world that we live in now. Satan is no joke. John 10:10. Here in John 10:10, it tells us the thief comes not but for to what? Steal, to kill, and destroy. That is his MO. He is a thief. He is, and here Jesus speaking, he is referring to Satan. He's telling that Satan wants to cause havoc. And of course, the second part of that verse is I am, that is pointing to God, and that is showing that God is saying he is Elohim, he is God, God in flesh. He said, I am come that they may have life. And what should they have? They will have it more abundantly. This is the contrast of light and darkness. He wants to fill our life with light, with goodness, and Satan wants to fill our life with evil and darkness. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. He wants to call havoc upon you. Satan does not have your best interest in mind. He wants to create a trap that will steal your life, that will kill your life, and will destroy your life. And I want to tell you, you don't have to. He has this trap baited for you with all the reflection of the silver and the gold of this world he wants you to grab onto, that will lead you from the opposite direction and where God wants to bring you. We are little birds, and we can start looking at all the material things of this world, and we can start wanting to fly over there to get a taste of all the material stuff that we might think will make us feel better about our life, that will bring us joy, that we think will bring us joy, that we'll think us will bring us peace, that we'll think that it will make us, give us everything we want, but it will leave us ultimately to our destruction. And Satan's really good at this. He knows what sells. He knows what tracks the heart away from God. Matthew 16:19-21 puts it this way. Lay not up for yourself treasures up on earth, where moth, rust do corrupt, where thieves break through, and what do they do? The thieves do steal. But Jesus says here, but lay up for yourself the treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. In verse 21 here it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The treasures of this life falls in two categories. Not my words, the words Jesus saying. The treasures that lead you away from God and the treasures that lead you to God. And Satan knows the lure of treasures that can lead you away from God. He's been doing this for a long time. Remember Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden. But do not be deceived. Satan is the ultimate fowler. He's the ultimate darkness. He's the ultimate evil. He is real. He wants your heart. He wants your soul. And knowing this truth and acknowledging this truth helps you understand we have an enemy, Satan. Now, I'm not going to go into the demon aspect of this and how Satan and his demons are operating fully in people, in the physical people of this world. I encourage you to check out my sermon series on this. I do one every year. I've done one this year. I've done one last year. I've done one the year before that. So, and there's a spiritual warfare Bible study on here. I think I got 10 on there. So it breaks down this, but I want this to really kind of resonate right now. This first point, this first principle. We have a real enemy who is ultimate darkness. He's ultimate evil. He has set traps for you, and they are well baited in hope that you will fall, into these traps. You will take the bait, and he will snare you. And I want to tell you that you don't have to fall for those traps, those snares. You may ask you, how do I not fall for these traps or snares set by Satan? The answer is simple. God. The point is simple, but we can make this complicated. And the second principle I really want to go into here is God is light. And God is good. God is good and light. Now that is the groundwork. That is the truth. But we can take this a little farther in this second principle, the second point, a little bit deeper, because I like the deep end of the pool. I was that kid. Mom's like, don't jump in that deep 10-foot pool. But I didn't need no floaties. I will learn how to swim one way or the other. Dog paddled my way to the surface. I didn't care much for the shallow end. I want to go deeper. I love to go deeper in God's word. I love to go beyond the shallow end of the pool to the deep part of the pool. I pray that you're like that. That you're like me. You want to go into the deeper part of the messages. You want to get more into the meat and less in the milk. You want to understand more of the truth of the gospel than just the surface of it that is being preached at most churches. They are bottling, feeding many people in their churches today with milk, and we need to move beyond milk into the meat of God's word. But let's go deeper here. When we center our life on this, that God is good and he is light, he will light our path to be more aware of the traps or the snares that Satan has baited for us. Now, I don't agree with everything Charles Spurgeon said, but I do enjoy quite a few of his quotes. And what he quotes here, he says, "We are foolish and weak as poor little birds, are very apt to be lured to our destruction by cunning foes. But if we dwell near to God, he will see to it that the most skillful deceiver shall not entrap us." Let me read that again. We are foolish. I am. And weak. I know I am. We are poor little birds. We are very apt to be lured to our destruction by cunning foes. But if we dwell near God, the light, right? He will, not that he won't, or he shall, he will see to it the most skillful deceiver shall not entrap us. Let's think about this for a second. We are little birds, right? And there is this ultimate fowler, this ultimate bird catcher, Satan, who wants us to fall for his traps and snares. But God, he is the ultimate rescue. He wants us to draw near to him so he will light our path up so we will see the traps, the snares that Satan has set for us. This is beautiful. Wouldn't you agree? Where our path is lit by God, what happens? We can be like the psalmist here when he says in verse 4, "He," that is God, "shall cover thee," that is you and me that truly are trusting with him, "with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be a shield and buckler." That is beautiful, right? And if you just kept reading down, the language is reflecting when our path is lit, what God does for us. Just think about this. The God, Elohim, creator of the world, The same God who hung the stars in the sky. I don't know if you go outside and you look at the stars on a clear night and there's millions of stars. It's beautiful. He hung those stars in the sky. He struck, he stretched the heavens. All that is our Almighty God who created this world in literally six 24-hour period days. He wants to cover you and me. He wants to protect those that trust in Him. This is such a beautiful picture. Amazing. He covers us with His wings. Now, if you grew up like me in the country, right? Just not the swamp area. I was in the swamp area. I was also on farms too. And maybe you've seen this on TV or whatever social media site on the internet. A hen with chicks. They will protect, that hen will protect her chicks when there's a threat is coming. When there is raining outside and the chicks are getting wet, they come to their mother, and that hen, she will open her wings and she will cover her chicks while taking the rain on her own body. That's what God wants to do for us. That's what He did through Jesus Christ. The cross. Such beautiful. I'm not going to break into a salvation message, but oh man, oh I could. And we're already at 56 minutes. And I could make this into a 2-hour long sermon if I start going in salvation. How beautiful that is. How Jesus wants to cover us with His wings and protect us. Now, what I want to say is this does not mean that we will not feel the sting of this life. No, this life is rough because we are children of God. And I pray that you are. Does that mean we'll not experience the pain and the suffering of this life? John 16:33 says, those things I've spoken to you, and He's speaking here to the disciples, and of course, all that were listening, and us today, that He says, in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I'm going to tell you today to tell a new believer when they come to Jesus Christ, everything will be okay. That's like a blanket statement to say this. And leave it as is. That is wrong. Of course, like a disciple like me and others truly pressing on in our faith to endure to the end. Understand that this life, we will suffer. And we have. And we have felt the sting of this life. Some more than others. And we know we will face tribulations. And guess what? We know if we're not going through it right now, we may go through it later. But we know when this world hits us with all the challenges, with all the trials, and with all the storms in this life, it's only temporary. We know if today was our last day, what is waiting for us? Heaven. Everlasting life. Through all the pain and the suffering that we may experience in this life, we know it doesn't compare to what's waiting for us with this mindset, right? Yes, everything will be okay, but you got to realize when we say this, we're saying this maybe to a new believer, maybe you're an old believer, and you may have never heard a message like this before, and maybe you're struggling with your faith right now because you're going through something. I don't know where you're at in your life, but I know this. When we make these statements saying everything will be okay, we're telling that person that this life will be filled with everything that you ever wanted, you ever desire, you ever needed. You will have no worries about anything because God got this. He wants to flood your life with all the material things of this world and all the spiritual blessings of this world. And you will never suffer or have pain for anything, for your life will be a bed of roses. You may be like, that is not what I meant when I say everything will be okay. Well, I'll tell you this. That is not what they're hearing. We have to be clear in all This message is not being taught to new believers. When you look at collectively, when you look especially here in America as a church, there's a distortion of the gospel. It breaks my heart. Really does. If you don't believe me, look what peddles off as true preaching and teaching today. Anley Stanley. Opening right now, affirming whole conference that homosexuality is not a sin and is okay. Steve Furtick claims that we can be God. We can be a God. Believe that Jesus Christ sinned. He was not perfect. This is what's being peddled all. Joel Osteen, have your best life now. Joel Osteen, you will have your best life now. If you don't repent, your worst life will begin when God drops you dead right where you stand. You're like, whoa. You just went too dark, bro. No. We need to be direct and honest, because these people, these pretenders, we pray they come to repentance and confession. Yes, I don't want to see nobody perish and go to hell. Today, social media, they are aware of men like me and more popular ministries that actually stand on God's truth. They're aware that we're calling them out. They don't care. It's hard not to believe that they don't know what's going on. They just don't care. Joel Osteen's been brought on programs where he asked, why don't you preach on hell and sin? He's like, nah, that's just not my ministry. I don't believe in preaching on hell or sin. They got too much else things to worry about. Yes, you've been called out and you reject it. And with that mindset, if you don't come to Christ, truly come to Him, you will drop dead. And when you drop dead, you will be burning in hell. They're popular. They're growing more popular year after year. They don't center on the real truth of God's word. And God tells us in the last days, this will happen. 2 Timothy 4:3, right? Seeking men that will tickle their ears, massage their ears, tell them whatever they want to hear that will grow. To me, that really shows that we are living what Jesus Christ prophesied in Matthew 24, what we consider the last days, the apostate days, the falling away days. They will fall away from truth and they will seek these guys. To me, that's one most clear way of showing that we are on borrowed time. Time rapidly is coming to the end. When men like Anley Stanley and Steve Furtick and Joe Osteen, they keep growing in popularity. When true men of God are calling them out from podcasts to social media, and they don't even care to heed the warnings. And then the people that are following are defending them and keep following. Guess what? And their followings keep increasing, increasing, increasing. I'm going to tell you, they'll keep defending them to the very end. All the way to the mark of the beast. They will take the mark of the beast without batting their eye. And that breaks my heart. And they will say, you're extreme. Your preaching is extreme and we're not going to support this kind of preaching. Even though it's biblical. And I gave you some scriptures. 2 Timothy 4:3, Matthew 24. Believe it or not, in a simple, but complex sermon like this, I'm providing scripture more than they even provide probably for a whole week of preaching or even a month of preaching. Scripture is just a side note for them. They don't care. Andy Stanley breathes on preaching on one passage or one verse or whatever, and he don't believe in, then he gives all his opinions. I don't encourage you to watch his garbage or Steve Furtick or Joel Osteen. But if they don't repent, they don't turn from their wicked ways. And the people following them don't repent, turn from their wicked way. They will line right up with the mark of the beast, and they will not bat an eye. The Antichrist system and receiving the mark of the beast. They won't bat an eye. It breaks my heart. And they will call men like me and others extreme. If you don't believe me, just watch. It's coming. And I don't want to. only want to boast in God's name. I will only lift Him above any others. And I want to tell you, if I say something that's not scriptural, I want you to point it out. I want you to look at what I'm saying and say, does it line up with God's word? I want to point to scripture and say, here's what God's saying, not Jonathan Ritter. And I want you to truly come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ in your life and turn from your wicked ways. And buckle up, because the great tribulation is going to rock your world. And yes, I am post-tribulation. That right there, it's already got me kicked out most churches in my area because they're pre-trib. But guess what? For it's over with, they will be post-trib, or they will line right up with the one world system, the one world religion, and they will line up right with the Antichrist and take the mark of the beast without batting their eyes. And I truly believe, looking at this war in Israel, really do believe we're the Antichrist, the one world system, the one world government. We're closer than we've ever been. That was a little bit of rabbit chasing there, but it's just what God wanted. But when we tell somebody, we need to be clear that in this life you will have tribulation. When we say everything will be okay, what we're saying is, regardless of what we're going through in this life, you can talk about, regardless of where we're going, the challenges, the tribulation, the storms, it will come. But it'll be okay. We will have trials. We can even talk about situations in our life that God has brought us through, and how He gave us strength to overcome those situations and challenges. We can say things like this: how would you respond? How would you respond when a doctor came into your room and tell you that you only have a few months to live? Or you lost your wife, your husband, maybe a child or children to an accident or illness. Will you still believe that God is good and He is light? Or if you were evicted from your home or apartment, now you're homeless on the street in a box, rain's falling down, can you still say God is still good and He's still light? If you lost your job and you don't know how you're going to make payments on your bills, can you still say God is good? God is light. These things are not being presented to those that new believers. I promise you, I've seen it over and over. It breaks my heart. We're setting them up for failure. They say they believe, but do they truly believe? It's our fault for not expounding on that concept of what it believes. To believe is to believe within the storm that God's still good and that He will come through one way or the other. We just need to be clear, right? How to talk to new believers, maybe old believers, maybe ones struggling with their faith right now that haven't been taught this, been led to a point where they think their life is going to be perfect, and now all this stuff is happening in their life because their preacher or their teacher did not expound like they should have. When you come to Christ, it does not mean you will not experience the pain and the suffering of this life, but what it means is, if you truly trust Him, when we walk in His path, we know the pain and suffering of this time is only temporary. I mean, we can take comfort and have peace that in the end, when looking at the pain and the suffering compared to eternity with God, does not compare. Meaning, the pain and suffering in this life for a true child of God is only a dot, a brief moment, a vapor compared to what is waiting, heaven, eternal life, waits for those that truly believe and truly press on. a million years in heaven, guess what? It's only a drop in a bucket to eternity. The joy and the peace, the hope that we will have. This present life will only be in the rearview mirror. We will not think about that old life. I believe we will not think about it because of the joy, the peace, the hope. Our mindset will be totally different. We will not have this flesh. And for millions upon millions upon millions of years, we will live. Oh, how can you just think about this? When we get this mindset, Satan cannot do nothing with a man or a woman with this kind of mindset, with this kind of mentality. We have this mentality. If we have this, we become a wrecking ball to Satan, any traps that he think he can catch us with, because we know God is what our ultimate light. He is our ultimate rescue. He is the ultimate good. And we cling to this. We draw to this. We draw as James 4, 7. Let me flip to that scripture. But James 4, and I was really going. We're over an hour now. But one of the good things about preaching online, I don't have to look at a clock. And I don't have to people getting agitated for me preaching God's word. One day, they're going to be called out for that. James 4, 7 through 8 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Wow. Submit. And resist the devil. This is the drawing near to God. Your will be done, God, not mine. I want your purpose, your direction in my life. And if it does not match up with your purpose and your desire, get rid of it. I do not want it. We submit. Your will be done. Are you doing that? This is not being taught in mainline Christianity because it does not sell. Topics that sell in the mainline Christianity is, have your best life now. God will give you anything your heart desires. If you want to claim that Mercedes-Benz, claim it in the name of Jesus. If you want to claim that big mansion, claim it in the name of Jesus. Look, and if you can't claim it, well, you know what? Your faith is not that good. And look at my faith, because I have this big home, and you're weak. You don't have a faith. But guess what? Give me your money. So in my ministry, because you can't be like me. So therefore, give me your money. And guess what? It sells. And God helped these guys preaching that. And they are. I listen to messages that just grieve my heart, because I don't want to tell you something I'm not researching and studying. It really can get me very angry just listening. And then you hear the people in the congregations, amen, praise Jesus. They ain't praising our God. They're praising the God of this world, Satan, who's blinded those. When we submit, we say, your will be done. When we do this, we draw near to him, meaning we want his purpose, his direction. And when we do this, we draw near, what happens? This is a resisting of the devil. The devil, and it doesn't say the devil will think about fleeing. It said he will flee. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. This is not second guessing. This is God's word. When we submit and we say, your will be done, not mine. I want my life to be surrounded with everything that you want, God. I don't care what it looks like. Get rid of me. Let your will be done. Verse 8 says, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. This, when we draw, we submit, we draw near. And then he says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your heart, ye double-minded. Wow. We seek God to cleanse our hands, our hearts, our soul. What are we cleansing our hands from? Sin. Our sins in our life. We don't want sin to be in our life. We don't want to glorify sin in our life. We seek to walk in the light. So now that we are truly His, we seek this sanctification of truth, meaning this separation from the world, that we don't seek the things of this world. Yes, we have to work in this world. I get that. And we have to live in this world. I get that. I'm not telling you go to Asia and become a monk. I'm saying that we live in this life, but we do not let this life roll over on us. We don't let this life taint us. Jesus walked in this world, and guess what? He did not let sin or sins taint His life. See, Jesus Christ, He rubbed off on the world. He rubbed off those around Him. If they felt they wanted to accept His truth, they came to Him. If they didn't, they reject Him. They went the other way. He never conformed to this world. You accept it, or you accept Him for who He is and His teachings, or you rejected Him. That's truly what it. It's truly what we look at His ministry, and that's truly what's happening now. You preach God's word from the scripture, they will accept it, and God's word tells us in the last days, remember, the tickling of the ears. They will not accept messages like this, they will what? Reject messages. And that's sad. When you hear about all these revivals, I pray, God, that God's word is truly being preached. I wish I had money. I could go visit these revivals and those that come to Christ. I can add, or I can hear what salvation message they're preaching. I was able to look at a few messages on the Asbury revival. I wasn't. And it's crazy. The gospel wasn't being preached. Then that kind of faded out and people forget about it. I haven't forgot about it because I'm curious. What's being preached? Is God's word being preached? Are they preaching justification? Are they preaching sanctification? Are they preaching glorification? Are they telling you that your life must now be different than this world? Sin should not be okay. It grieves God's heart. And do they teach that now that you're saved, there is this daily persevering to the very end. Regardless of all the things in your life that may happen, you keep pressing on. Now it's about God. It's not about you. It's about what God can do. Now it's time to seek His face every day. Fall on your knees before a holy God. Raise His holy name every day. Sacrifice your life. Crucify your flesh. Do not yield to the temptation of the devil, the snare of the ultimate fowler. And embrace that light, and He will light your path. Are they teaching that? Are they talking about cleansing your hands? You filthy sinners. We are sinners. And we're talking about purifying our hearts. Telling us that you can't serve this world and God. That contradicts the gospel message. It's either God or this world. When we live in this world, we do not conform to this world. And clearly it's taught through scripture to not conform to this world or the things of this world. We are separate. We are different. We are sanctified. We seek His way. And when we seek His way, guess what? We seek His light. We seek His goodness. We seek that He has this, and when we do this, guess what? Our life, the path the path that we're traveling is lit up because we trust that He's got this. He is the ultimate rescuer, and there is no darkness in Him. Amen. Now we're at an hour, and yeah, I try to keep these to an hour, but the Holy Spirit just pours and let Him pour. Closing this out, I pray that what you get from this series on Psalm 91, that God wants you to truly come to Him. This psalmist was very clear on how God can come through for him. This psalm is very specific from the very beginning, right? Speaks of this secret place, and I preached on that in part 1 with the help of the Holy Spirit. Part 2, God is a refuge and fortress. And this sermon, spiritual warfare, God fights for us if we are His. But none of this applies to you if you're not truly walking with God. That's really, I know this can be hard, and I'm not being judgmental immediately. You will assume you don't know my life. I don't know your life. God does. And that's, you take the scripture that I mentioned. If you want to put me in the back, don't hear anything I said through this whole sermon. Write down the scripture, guys. Go back to God's word and see what God's word say. Now, if you don't want to do that, then you're already walking the path of darkness. If you don't want light, scripture, the light of the gospel, the scripture to invade your life, then you have a different gospel. You're walking on the path of darkness. If you die today, you will not inherit everlasting life, but everlasting damnation. I'm being real, because I never know how far this sermon will go out on the internet land, and how this sermon will affect others. Maybe one day when I'm dead and gone, and this sermon is still here, and it may affect somebody. It may reflect at their life and realize what they're listening to out there is not truly scriptural. Maybe I don't believe our world has much longer in it. I'm not prophesying anything, but you know, maybe when I'm dead and gone, maybe. But then again, maybe, you know, this world has maybe 10 or 20 years left in it or less. Who knows? But my point is, I don't know how far this reaches out to whoever may hear it. But I pray that you look at the scripture. I pray that you recognize the true nature of God. And come to that true saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That you're all in, right? Truly walking with God, truly seeking a different life. Do not want to look like this world. You want God's will to invade your life and to change you day by day. And I have quite a few salvation messages on this website. You can go with the Holy Spirit that helped me preach on salvation. I encourage you to pick one. Just listen to it. Write down the scripture. Go back over the scripture. Pray over the scriptures. And when you truly do this, truly seek Him, guess what? He will show up. And I want to say this, because everything the psalmist is speaking on or singing on only applies to those who are His and that are truly, truly God, truly His. We know we're a part of light. We know we're a part of the army of God. We know God is good and He is light. He will light our path closer we draw near Him. We know the closer we are in the light source, the more He shows us the traps and the snares of Satan that has laid out, has fully baited for us. And I promise you, Satan does lay traps every day. He baits them. Of course, I didn't go in the demonic part of that, but he has help. And I point you to my spiritual warfare series on that and go deep down in that. But here's the thing, we need to stay connected with God through our Bible reading, through the studying of Scripture, through our prayer life, through praise and worship, time and fellowship with like-minded believers. We draw closer every day, but when we neglect these parts of our life, we allow Satan to come into our life. We create these gaps, and he comes in, and he will cause havoc, but he will work on a subtle level, chip by chip by chip. Remember that personal story I was talking about at the very beginning? A friend, great preacher, great musician, great mechanic. He started neglecting things of God. Slowly what happened? The ultimate fowler, the bird catcher, works in slow chips from my age 11 or whatever to 20. And he takes his life. My friend took his life. But it all happened overnight. Never think Satan is full. Think of the historical account of Adam and Eve. Go back to Genesis 1 through 3 and read that. Study that. Look at 2 and then 3 and just really get down in that. I guarantee you, you can camp out in Genesis 1, 2, 3 for a good year or two. Breaking down the scripture. Maybe a year. Depending how diligent you study. You really can get into it. And you'll come out if you really dig down in it. Satan's been doing this for a long time, my friend, and he's good at it. Well, I'll tell you, when you center your life on God, the light, the goodness, the ultimate rescue, he will light your path every day. And I pray that you understand this and you apply this principle to your life. That Satan is ultimate darkness. Evil. God is ultimate light and goodness. And these two paths is the two paths that you can choose to walk in this spiritual warfare battle. If you neglect God, you don't want nothing to do with God, you don't really want anything to do with looking at scripture, you're walking that path of darkness. And it leads to ultimate destruction. But you cling to scripture. You cling to all that is God. You're walking that path of everlasting life, eternal life. And this path is a constant pressing on, right? Is a constant dwelling every day, not one day of the week, but all the days of the week, not just on Sunday, but on Monday, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and of course Sunday. We need to draw closer every day through our reading, our studying of God's Word, Scripture. Scripture should be tattooed on our hearts and this fellowship with like-minded believers, to have that fellowship physically with one another, that praise and that worship. I pray that you are on the right path. I pray that you have recognized the importance embracing the light and recognizing the darkness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. God, I pray, Lord, as when it's all said and done, Lord, that those are listening, they just go back to part 1 and part 2 and part 3, and they just go through the scripture. Write those scriptures down and go back for themselves. Especially on parts where they're like, I don't really like that preacher, man. I really don't like what you're telling me. Lord, I pray, Lord, they just go back and they look at your word. Because it's all about your word. We know your word will not go void. So if somebody heeds the scriptures that were given in all three of these parts and truly accept those scriptures and study them, your light will shine through their confusion. Maybe the hole that Satan has on their life right now, that lightness will burst it. The darkness will flee when we submit to you, God. Truly. Say, your will be done. This resistance of the devil happens. He will resist. He can't do this. When we draw near to you, God, he will run. When we say, Lord, here I am. Cleanse my life. Cleanse my heart. Purify my heart. Let my desires be yours. Let my purpose be yours. I know that in this life I will have troubles. In this life I know I will have tribulations. But I know that you're good. I know that you're light. And you will give me strength through it. In the midst of that storm, in the midst of that challenge, in the midst of that, whatever it may be, you will give me that peace. You will give me that hope. You will give me that joy. And to endure to the end. To press on. Yes, I know this something we may be going through right now will be challenging. But we know we cling to God. We know everything that we're going through here is only temporary. If we have to suffer for up to the point of our own physical death, it's still worth it. Because when we die, we know as a child of God that there's something waiting. Heaven is waiting. Eternal life is waiting that we can truly grasp. A million upon millions of millions of years in everlasting pleasure and everlasting joy and hope. This blessed hope that you speak of don't even compare to a lifetime of suffering and pain. The disciples got this. And man, I pray that we can get this. And we truly, as a person, we get this as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a true Christian. The devil cannot do nothing with a man or a woman with this kind of mindset. He will struggle so hard and fast that he will realize he can't do nothing. Because in the end, even though he is highly engaged, he's been doing this for a while, he cannot handle the light from our God. He cannot handle the goodness of our God, where the light will burst the darkness and it will flee. And when we truly cling to this, oh, what a powerful witness we are to the gospel. And will many not like it? Oh, you better believe it. Will many churches reject this? So you better believe it. But we are living in the day, as Jesus told us, the days of Noah, that one day is coming when there's going to be great tribulation on this earth. And many of churches today that are already apostated, that believe that you can live in your sin, that treat God as a genie on the bottle, that they can rub them off, pull them off the shelf and rub and grant their three wishes. If they don't repent and turn from their wicked ways, they will line right up with a one world government. They will line up with the one world religion. They will take the mark of the beast. They will not even blink their eyes. They will do it. And I pray those out there that are preaching that we will not see the great tribulation, that we will not see the Antichrist, Lord. Lord, I pray though they're misguided, that but they haven't hardened their heart to the point, if they were wrong, they will recognize the error of their way, and they will truly at that point in time repent of their false teaching, their false direction, and they will cling to the true gospel, and they will embrace themselves with faith and this mindset to persevere to the very end. To the end. Oh Lord, I pray over them. Lord, we pray over people like Anlie Stanley and Joel Olstein and Steve Furtick and many others. I could have went into their deceptive nature, Lord. Them not wanting the knowledge, the truth of the gospel. We pray over those that are listening to these guys that are defending them, Lord. We pray over their lives right now, Lord. We pray that we know the power of the light can come into their life, but we know that there's this point where they have to accept it and not reject it. I believe there's a time coming where they will get that ultimative. And we pray over them, God. My heart burns for them. They may not know who I am, but I pray for those that are listening to Joel Osteen sermons, God, right now. Or Annie Stanley or Steve Furtick, that they come truly to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. This sermon was a lot longer than what I anticipated, but it's all good. You can pause this sermon and take it bite by bite. But if you want to reach out to me, you can always reach out to me through this website. There's a email on here. If you do reach out, just make sure on the subheading you put Crucify for Christ Ministries. Now, increase the likelihood of that coming to my main feed on my web email, so you won't go in the spam. If you're on my Facebook group, or if you would like to be on my Facebook group, just send me a message. I have a private group I can add you to, and within that private group, you can ask any question you will want to. Some of the stuff I spoke on today can be controversial. I have done a lot of research on a lot of things that I speak on, because it's just the kind of person I am. I don't want to preach on stuff that I haven't researched on and haven't studied on. That's why I listen to a lot of other sermons that grieve my heart, like Andy Stanley, etc. I don't want to tell you something I haven't looked at their sermons and looked at their books, and so I want to be informed. I don't want to idly tell you something I haven't researched. So you reach out to me, Facebook, message me. Some of you guys have my private phone number, so you can definitely text me. Y'all do. And you can reach out to me that way. Any questions you may have, I'll do my best to answer. I do work a regular job, 40 hours a week. So if I can't get to you right away, just be patient with me. I don't have no staff. It's just me and God. I can get busy with work, and my job's pretty physical at times, and my body can be hurting. And of course, working on sermons and looking at Bible studies, and trying to work on a few Bible studies, but time tends to be time goes by pretty fast. So when you're working 40 hours and just even writing a sermon and praying over that sermon, praying over the scriptures, I try to get one out every week, but and I have some Bible studies I'm working on, but time just kind of disappears a lot of times. I run out of time. But love you guys. Of course, reach out to me. Those are the ways you can reach out to me. I love y'all. Y'all have a good rest of your, if you're listening to this during the weekend, a good weekend. Pray that you have a good Sunday sermon message by a man of God up there that has been grieving over it, crying over it, seeking God's will on that, and of course Bible studies. And if you're listening to this of the week, I pray that your week's going good. I pray that you're seeking His face and letting the light shine in this darkness around us, that you can witness to those about the glorious gospel, the change that took place in your life, and to be a beacon of hope and to flood into somebody's life the true message of Jesus Christ. Love y'all. Y'all have a good rest of your day or night. Bye.